Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. But anyway, for all of you mothers, we are grateful and we welcome you and we thank you for being our mothers. I had the best mother in the world. So the rest of y'all had something less than what I had. So. I guarantee I had the best mother in the world. There wasn't a better one of nowhere than the one I had. You know, she was an awesome woman. Awesome woman. But I think every son should be like that about his mom, shouldn't he?
Amen.
You know, so I had a great mom, and I'm grateful I had a great mom. And let me tell you the kind of mother I'm glad I didn't have. I know this person personally now, so I know this is not secondhand. Well, when this girl came home, I think she was in about the first or second grade. She was 6 or 7 years old. And she came home from school, and her bed and stuff was still in her bedroom, and everything else in the house was gone, including mother. And for 3 days, she cried, and nobody knew where she knew nothing. The mother had run off and left this little 6 or 7 year old girl all by herself, and she never saw her again until she was a grown woman. Now then, how would you like to have had a mother like that? Now that's not one I want. That's not the kind of mother I want. But I know that woman that had that mother personally. I know that happened to her. And so I just stand in awe to think that, you know, if you haven't told mother, if you've had a good mother, if you haven't told her how much you love her, you need to call her today. Tell her something, you know, how much you love her, because it's wonderful to have a mother. And in fact, to tell you the kind of mother I had, you may not understand this. You may not have raised chickens in your life or anything, but when my sister got killed in a car wreck, she had three little boys. The youngest one was 5 months old. And the other two was just a little bit older. There was a young man in town that him and his wife couldn't have children. And of course, you know, we were all Baptists back in those days, and we didn't know how to pray for nothing. We did not know the promises of God. You know, I hate to say it, but we were just stupid. You know, we were stupid. Here we are, the church of the living God, with the Word of God and the promises we're going to talk about today, and we don't even know how to use them. You know, that's stupid. You know, I just stand in awe of how stupid I was the biggest part of my life. Do you understand that, Jack?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so. But anyway, when my sister got killed in a car wreck, you know, a carload of drunks hit her and her girlfriend head on and killed them both right there on the highway. My sister had three little boys, and this girl, her girlfriend, had three little girls. And so there's six children left without a mother that night because of drinking. Drunks. You know, so I have no sympathy for you if you're driving on the road. If I see you driving on the road and I know you're drinking and driving on the road, you don't think for a second I will call the cops and have you locked up and put away. And I don't care if they throw the key away. So don't you ever let me see you drinking and getting the vehicle drive off, because you do, I'm going to call the cop on you. You understand why? Because I saw what it did to my sister and another girl that night. And so I hate alcohol. That's why I don't drink it. You couldn't take me and tear me down and put me down and pour that stuff in me. That's how bad I hate it. Because I know what it does to human beings. I see it every day, all the time. There's people handicapped, maimed, and everything else. Thousands of people die every year because of alcohol. So. You know, and everybody's a drinker always think, well, I can hold my alcohol. No, you can't. You're an idiot. You know, you get on the road, then you're my problem. If you want to stay at home and drink it, that's okay. Drink all you want to at home, as long as you don't get in that vehicle. But you get in that vehicle and start on that road, you're my problem. And I will have you locked up. I guarantee I will. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from?
Amen.
See, we just let things go. But anyway, there was a young man, after my sister left three boys, nobody to take care of him but mom. And mom's already raised her family. We're all grown. My sister was the youngest one in the family. And she's got three children of her own. So mom's kids are all grown. Well, now mom's got to start over. She's got three little boys that she's got to take care of. And so She had absolutely no problem taking those three boys in to take care of them, because my brother-in-law had to work. But this one young man, fine young man from town, from over in Goldsway, him and his wife didn't know how to pray, they couldn't have children, they didn't know, so lots of us have been down that trail, they didn't know how to pray. So he came out and told my mom, said, "Miss Scrivener, I know that, that you've already raised your family, and you may not be able to take care of three more boys, little ones. So just in case you can't take care of all of them, my wife and I will be happy to adopt a little one. We would like to have a boy, and he's 5 months old. And of course, that's my nephew Ricky now, which is about 50 years old now. But at that time, he was 5 months old, and said we would be more than happy to adopt the baby. And my mother said, "Thank you, I appreciate your concern, but I don't think I'll need any help." And so whenever he drove off, my mother made a statement to me that I understood as a young farmer. You may not understand what I'm going to say, but my mother looked straight at me and said, "Son, I will scratch with the chickens to feed these babies if so necessary, but nobody will ever have one of my babies." Now, is that a mother? Is that her grandmother? She was willing to dig with the chickens to feed her grandbabies. That's why I said I had the greatest mother in the world. She never looked to herself. She was always thinking about somebody else. And that's not the kind of mothers that we have out here today. We have mothers that won't even take care of their own kids, that won't even feed them and take care of them. They don't know what it is to be a mother, but we used to have some real mothers, and I would like to think that hopefully in the church we've still got some mothers. But we got so many people out there today that does not walk in obedience to God's word, and wow, what a sad state of affairs. Do y'all agree we're living in a sad place? In fact, Kim and Scott's children, this little girl right here, just because the doctors told them when she was born that she had never walked, they give her up. They didn't want her.
Yeah.
Huh?
The parents gave them up.
That's what I'm saying. Not them. They're the ones that took her. But I'm saying that the true mother of this little girl right here sitting on the front row, when she was born, the doctors in the examination said there's something physically wrong with her and she'll never walk. And so her mother and dad gave her up. They didn't want her, because she wasn't going to be normal. Well, thank God for a man and woman of the church that knew what was going on. Mom and this mom and dad, they come out, they adopted this little girl and brought her out here. We broke the curses, kicked out the devils, and she was about 8 months old at that time. And after we broke the curse over her and kicked the devils out, and of course the curse that was on her was because of the sin of her mother and father. But they didn't understand that. But this couple did. And so they had no problem adopting a child that the doctor said had never walked, and brought her out here, and we prayed, broke the curse, kicked out the demons, and the little girl just started crawling and working, and now then look at her, 8 years old, sings out here every day, every Sunday. You see what happens when you get mothers and daddies that know something about the kingdom of God. Now these things are available to every child of God. And most of us are like I was, and Jack, I think about Jack, he's just like all the rest of us. In fact, after Jack got his back healed, he come to me one day and said, Thurman, he said, "I got this knot on the back of my hand here. I had it 40 years. But he said, "I think we just pray and ask God to take that thing off and let him take it off." He said, my daughter's a doctor, a surgeon, and she wants to take it off. But I told her, "No, I'm just going to let Jesus take it off." Well, his daughter had one too. But she didn't have the kind of faith that daddy's got. So she let one of the doctors take hers off. Is that right, Jack?
That's right. Yeah.
But Jack, after he learned the promises of God and that God means what he says, he come out here and me and him prayed, and just a few months, that thing he'd had for 40 years went away. Right. And it ain't there no more, is it, Jack? Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. And no scar.
And no scar, yeah. That's the beautiful part. I'm going to tell you, these promises are available to all of us. Now look what he says in Matthew 8:13. "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, And as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And the servant was healed that self same hour. What do you see in that that just should jump off the page at you? As you have believed. In other words, what do we believe? I mean, yeah, you go to the average church and ask the people, do you believe you can do this, or do you believe you can do that, or do you believe you can lay hands on the sick and they'll get healed? And they'll say, no. Isn't it amazing that the Lord, the limits He give us is according to what we believe? As you have believed. Look at that. When Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed. Do you believe the right things? Do you believe that the Word of God is true? Do you believe that God meant what He said when He was speaking in His Word? It is full of promises. Now, I want to show you some of these promises and about these promises. We're going to start out in 2 Peter, King James, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, and to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now then, I want you to stop and think a minute. What kind of faith did Peter have? Let's think about back. Let's go back to the days in the temple when they were going up to worship in the temple, and they go up there, and there's a crippled man sitting there, and as Peter and John goes by, he's saying, sirs, please give me alms. I need some money. I'm hungry. Do we see these kind of people standing on the street corners all over the place?
Yeah,
you really do, you know, and some of them really telling you the truth, and some of them, they're just trying to scam people. They don't want to work. Now, He has given us far more than we know that belongs to us in this book. But when I think about these precious promises, just think Peter and John that day, when they're walking up there and they're going into the temple to pray, and this old guy sitting there saying, I need money. When I saw that, I thought about that guy. Of course, I went down there, and I didn't tell you, and I won't tell you how much money I give the guy, but I will have to say that when I walked out there in the rain, and I reached in my billfold, and I got some money, and I handed it to him. As I tapped him on the shoulder, he turned around. He said, immediately, before he even looked at me, he said, thank you, sir. And then when he looked and saw what I had in my hand, he said, thank you, sir. So it must have been impressive. I don't know. But yeah, that's right. He had one arm and no legs. And sitting out there in a little motorized wheelchair between the medians, and it's raining straight down. Poor guy. And I thought to myself, oh, God, Lord, except for the grace of God, that could have been me. You know, I mean, and coming home from Vietnam and able to go back to school and become an engineer and do all the things and travel the world over, I think of the blessed life I have had. Don't you? And you know, sometimes we fail to say thank you, Jesus. I mean, some of us go through the whole day and never once say, Lord, thank you. Some of us sit down to eat and never say, thank you, God, for the meal. Some of us are afraid we're going to offend somebody in a restaurant because we're thanking God for our food. Well, let me tell you, if you're in a restaurant where I am, you're going to get to hear some food blessed, whether you want to hear it or not, because I ain't going to eat mine without blessing it. I'm just not going to do that. I don't care if you like it or don't like it. You know, I went to Vietnam to fight so you can have the freedom to do what you want to do, so that's okay. That means I got freedom to do what I want to do, too.
That's right. Amen.
So if you don't like what I do, then go from somewhere else, because I'm going to worship the King. I'm going to do it. But Peter and John, I think about them when they come up there, and they knew what belonged to them. We don't. But they knew what belonged to them. They had been with the King. And they knew these great and precious promises. They had heard him quote these great and precious promises. And when that man says, alms, I need some money. Peter knew who he was. I don't have any money. But what I got is far better than that money. In the name, and we all have that name. We just don't use it very often. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. See, God said, anything you ask or demand in my name, I will do it for you. You know, the average church member does not believe that. We do not believe that. We live a defeated life in the church because we do not believe these awesome promises. Here's a cripple. If I'd had the faith that day, I'm telling you, this could have happened in downtown Dallas if I was where I should be as a Christian. I could have walked up there, not only been interested in giving that man some money, but I could have walked up there and touched him and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, may all your limbs grow back. And if I had the faith, that man's legs and arms would have grown back.
Amen.
That's available to us if we only know it. But because of our lack of faith, our unbelief for the promises of God. That day, all I did was what I could do easily, and that was give him some money. I could do that easily. But I didn't even say, may your legs and arms grow back. I did say, may the Lord bless you. And as all of you know, that when I was in Norway the last time, I reached up and shook a little woman. She was an elderly woman, probably my age at least. But her right hand was all shriveled up. And when I went to shake her hand in that Bible study class that day, I really felt compassion in my heart for that poor little woman. Her hand was all, you know, shriveled up and looked terrible. I just reached up and put my hands on her and said, may the Lord bless you. And I said, thank you, Lord. And then I turned loose of her and went to another place. And right before everybody's eyes, that little woman's hand became totally normal. Now see, I don't understand why God did that like that. He could have done it with that man down there that day. I don't know. I know he does what he wants to do when he wants to do it, but I know he uses a lot according to our faith. But to see that woman that day there in Norway, just to put my hands on her and say, may the Lord bless you, and to see him give her a brand new, totally normal hand just like the other hand, that's available to all of us. You know, oh, I know. He loves me more than he does the rest of y'all. You don't believe that, do you, Rosemary? That don't have anything to do with it. He loves every one of us exactly the same, right, girl? But isn't it amazing when you get to pray for somebody and see the King do something like that? And we've all here at this ministry, we have all prayed for people and seen God do these great and awesome things. And I mean, just like Jack sitting right there, I mean, I had the privilege to pray for his back a few years ago, and God healed him before he got to the car. And then a few years ago, I had the privilege to pray with him over his hand when his faith got there, and that thing went away. You know, so it's wonderful to get to be a part of that prayer. Amen. And especially to be the recipient of the prayer, right, Jack? That's the best part. But just think, these great and precious promises. Look what he said. A servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith. Well, I think we need that like precious faith like Peter. When Peter told that man, I don't have any money, but what I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I can just see that man looking up and saying, what? Can't you?
Yes.
Yeah. And Peter, with his great faith, he said, I said, and he was bold. He wasn't, you know, hiding it. He was bold as a lion. I can just hear Peter reaching down there with both hands and grabbing that man's hands and arms and said, I said in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk, because I know the great and precious promises the King told me that was mine before he left this earth. And I'm going to believe them with no doubt in my heart. And whenever he jerked that man up, as he jerked that man up, that man's feet and ankles and legs and everything became strong, and he began to run up and down the stairs of the temple, praising and worshiping God. Who's glorified in a deal like this? The King, the Lord. And that, I'm telling you, the Lord wants all of us to get to that point where we have that kind of faith, because he said, as you have believed, Do you believe you have that kind of faith?
Amen.
You need to. If you get to where you know you have that kind of faith, when somebody comes and you're prayed and you pray for them, it should be an automatic thing in your heart that you know that you have the petition you ask of God. Is that true?
Amen.
Okay. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Do you want it to be multiplied to you?
Amen.
I do. I definitely want it to be multiplied to me. But how do I get it according to the Word? And how do I do that? Get in the Word and believe those promises. That's right. In other words, any human being that gets in that book and starts reading these promises over and over and over and over and over and worshiping and praising God in the process, what's eventually going to happen? You're going to start believing it in your heart. And when you start believing it in your heart, then that's when you're going to start acting on it in faith, and that's when God's going to start showing up and you're going to start seeing things beyond your wildest dreams. I mean, that's when He'll just use you like He did me over there in Norway that day with that little lady with the shriveled hand. I mean, I had no idea what He was going to do. But He knew where my faith was. And He knew He could use me for His glory. And so He did a wonderful thing there for that little lady. I mean, that night, Jan, the television owner, when he found out that lady got healed, he knew that woman. Man, he got her up there on the set, and he talked to, you know, to 150,000 people over national television about what God had done for there. I couldn't understand a word they were saying. They were talking Norwegian, but I knew they were talking about her hand and what God had done, and God was being glorified, and that's what we're all after, right? We want to see the King glorified. And it says, then, let's go to verse 3 and 4. According as His divine power, He has given unto us, what does that say?
All.
That couldn't say that. That couldn't possibly say He's given us all things. What does all mean?
All.
Does all and everything, does that kind of the same word?
It is.
He give us everything?
Everything.
Or all things?
Everything.
That couldn't be true. If that's true, you know, we'd be jumping up and down screaming and we'd be doing something for God. So it says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that calleth us to glory and virtue. Oh, there again, we got to have that knowledge, right? If we're not in the book, if the enemy can say, oh, you know, you old hardworking creature, you know, you go home tonight and lay down and watch a few hours of television, maybe even Christian television. But whatever you do, don't go home tonight and open the Bible and start reading the promises of God. You don't want to do that. That could be hard on you. I'll have to put you to sleep if you do that. You know, I don't want you to know those promises. Why do you think He don't want you to know these promises? Oh, they're so powerful. Yes. I mean, He's given to us what?
All.
Isn't that something? Everything that pertains to life and godliness already belongs to us, and people even in the church are out there begging and pleading, and I go to visit people in hospitals. They want me to go visit with them, and those people are sitting there in the hospital dying with sickness and disease, and all the power in the world they need is in them. Because they're sons and daughters of God too, right? So all this power is in them. So they call Thurman, or they call Dave or Jeff or one of us at the ministry center. Would you please go down and pray? I mean, I got an email just earlier today, in the wee hours this morning, I guess it was. This woman wants us to pray. She's been to the doctors. They can't help her. She's in excruciating pain, and the medication's not helping, and she wants everybody to pray. Well, I wonder if they prayed before she went to the doctor. I wonder. But how much of this power technically is supposedly in her too?
All
of it. It's all there. You know, so, but she don't know it. She don't know how to operate it. Now, if she knew how to operate if she understood these principles and the pain is coming up on her body, what she would do is she would say, Lord, I don't know what I've done that you're not happy with, but I repent. Lord, I repent. I break that curse over me. Now then I'm redeemed from the curse. So I command these spirits of curse to come out of me and go to the abyss and take away this pain in the name of Jesus. And if she knew that, what would have to happen? It'd have to happen. That's exactly right. She'd get healed. You know, I mean, I stand amazed whenever I have people, you know, that whenever people call me and say, you know, I took one of your CDs. And in fact, I just talked to a man this last week. He said, Thurman, he said, it's amazing what I have learned about the Word of God listening to you. He said, in fact, one day he said, I was listening to you teach some stuff and I thought, you know, this guy can't be right. He said, he can't be right because said, I don't hear this in nobody else's church. I don't see this. Nobody's telling us we have this kind of power. Maybe Thurman misunderstands this. But he said, everything you said, I went back to my Bible and he said, I looked and holy cow, it said the same thing in my Bible that you were saying. I thought, you know, he can be wrong because he's quoting the Word. So he said, I'm building my faith. I'm listening to you regular. He said, one day I walked up to a grocery store and said, there was a lady there. I met her at the checkout counter. She had both arms wrapped up. I said, ma'am, what's wrong with you? She said, well, I've got carpal tunnel, but I'm going to the doctor this afternoon for surgery. He said, well, can I pray for you? She said, I don't have time. He said, ma'am, it won't take but a minute at the most. And she said, well, okay. He said, just put your hands out here. He said, I'm standing at the checkout counter. He said, I reached up and grabbed her and said, I remembered everything I'd read and what you did about the promises. He said, it's unbelievable what came out of my mouth. The Word of God began to come out. I began to break the curses. I began to rebuke the devil and commanded them to come out of her and never go back in Jesus' name. And then I began to praise and worship the Lord for her healing. And all of a sudden she says, sir, all my pains left in both hands. She said, I was completely healed. He said, that was the beginning of my boldness now. He said, this stuff you're teaching really does work. Well, why does it really work? Because it's in the book. Where do you think I learned these things? Reading the book. Yeah, that's absolutely right. According as His divine power has given unto us everything or all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If all that belongs to us, I mean, have you ever just stopped and meditated on what He just said? I mean, that belongs to you. I mean, read that one more time. That's too good to be true. Whereby, verse 4, whereby are given unto us. He noticed there he didn't say Jack or Cheryl or Christy or Kim or Scott. He said to us, didn't he, Scott? That means the whole body, right? Whereby are given unto us, the whole body of Christ, exceeding great and precious promises. And not, in other words, not just some little bitty promises. You know, not just one that's worth a nickel. He's talking about awesome promises. Great and exceeding promises. I mean, I want you to name me your favorite promise. Which one do you like to use more than any of those great? And the book is full of them.
Philippians 4:6-7.
What?
Philippians 4:6-7.
Okay, which says?
Be anxious about nothing. Take everything to the Lord in prayer and supplication and say thank you. And then you can have a peace that passes all understanding.
Amen. See, is that a great promise? Now, Rosemary's locked on to one of those. And that is a great one that she's locked on to. Anybody else? Give me another one. Okay, Kim up here said Matthew 18:19. Obviously, you all use that pretty regular, huh? Even the kids know that one. They're all shaking their head. Yes, we know that. Now, if mom and dad go through life using just one promise. Now, the book's full of them, isn't it, Kim? Right, Scott? The book is full of them. But all you got to have is just one, right? And if you two are together most of the time, which y'all are, you work together and everything, y'all are always together. So if you're always together, or at least have one or two of your children with you. I mean, you know, there's at least two of you all together all the time. And so you can take that Matthew 18:19, and what did the Lord say he would do for you with that scripture?
Anything.
Anything. My goodness. So there's no limitations. I mean, you can do anything. In other words, that means if y'all are out mowing somewhere and a big storm comes up, you could even ask the Lord to stop the rain until you get through?
We've done it many times.
Oh, you've done that many times. Now, you know, y'all are kind of, you know, y'all are kind of funky out there. You know, surely you don't believe you can control the rain.
No, but he can.
But he can, and you have to be his son and daughter. You see these great promises? Aren't these things awesome? I mean, just look at that. He said in verse 4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. I mean, exceeding great. So we got one over here. Rosemary had one. They had one. Who else has another one?
John 15:7.
Cheryl said John 14:13-14. I know that's her. She goes that a lot.
Raised my dad from the dead.
Yeah, that's right. She said, wow, that John 14:13-14 raised my daddy from the dead. So how much more powerful a promise do you need?
Woo-hoo.
He raised your granddaddy from the dead. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just think, all these promises are available to who? The church. All the church, right? You got to believe, though, right, Eldon? You got to believe it. I mean,
there's a hidden promise up there.
Okay.
When it says, I will multiply your peace.
Yeah.
That's a gift from God.
Amen.
We used to have a term when I was a kid, an Indian giver. Now, the second red horse judgment of Revelation 6. God takes peace from the earth. So if he's given me peace in 2 Peter,
he won't
take. He's not going to leave me here to take it away.
That's right. I guarantee he will not. You will always have that. God never takes away his promises, does he, to his obedient children. I just think about this. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. I think about, now this is kind of like we talked about Kim and Scott here with the weather. This is kind of where the first time I did this in the airplane, when Dave and I was coming into a place where it was all socked in, couldn't have, you know, I mean, the fog was right down to the ground. And you couldn't see nothing. And so I just quoted one of these promises and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to clear the sky so we can land on the runway without any fog. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. And bam, we flew right out in the clear. And there was the runway right there in front of us. And Dave looked at this, and he looked at this, and it's like we're flying in a tunnel, a clear tunnel, fog everywhere else, but not where we are. And we landed on a clear runway. And when we got out of the airplane, Dave said, Thurman, you know a God that I don't even know exists. Well, he knows him now. I remember the day we went to Brenham to preach, and it was raining that day. We flew the airplane down there. His whole family went with us. We all went because it was such a short trip. We didn't have to carry a whole lot, and we were not going to spend the night, so we were all able to get everything in the airplane. And when we got down there, it was lightly raining, and there was clouds and a few little thunderstorms around. Dave, he said, Father, John 15:7 has really been rolling over in my spirit a lot lately. Now, he's spending time with God reading John 15:7, the verse you just quoted. So he said, Lord, you said I could ask for anything. So tonight when we go back, I know it's probably going to be after midnight. We'll have to teach a healing school and pray for lots of people. So when we go back to Dallas tonight, I want the sky to be as clear, crisp, and not a single cloud in the sky nowhere. Somebody says, you can't ask for that. Oh, yes, you can. You can ask for that. Did God make Dave that promise? Did he make you that promise? But see, Dave had it in his spirit. He was reading. He was meditating on the Word through the knowledge of God. He has these promises in here now. And he asked God to do that. We went out there that night and cranked up that airplane and took off, and we didn't get 6,000 feet high till I looked over there and there's Bryan College Station. I mean, just as clear. Then I looked off to the left and I said, my goodness, that can't be Waco already up there. But it was. It was just as clear, and then just a little bit higher. We went on probably 10,000 whatever, and I could, from way down there nearly to Houston, I could see the aurora of all the lights of the entire Fort Worth Metroplex, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And I thought, this is the clearest night I've ever seen. But then I thought, what did Dave tell me he asked God for? The clearest night we had ever had. And that night was the clearest night. We flew all the way to Dallas. We flew into the runway. We landed, and it was beautiful, gorgeous. I mean, just think. That promise is available to every Christian, not only Dave Rosenfeld. It's available to you and me, isn't it, Jack? Yeah, that's how we got that knot off of your hand, by taking one of those promises and standing on it. Now, all of those things are available to each one of us so that we can walk in the divine nature of God. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. In other words, that promise, Jack, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, you can ask me what you will. That's not a 25-cent promise, is it?
No, no, what you will.
That's a multi-billion dollar promise, right? That's a great promise. And that promise is just not given to Jack. It's not given just to Dave. It's given to the church. But we got to believe it. And that's as we believe. And that's the problem in the church. We don't believe these things belong to us. But they do belong to us. As children of God, I just get amazed at how many times we stand and we beg and we plead and we cry and everything else. Oh, God, you know, or they can't get through to the ministry center and the power is in them. They just don't spend enough time with God to be able to get it to work for them. But that's the difference with us out here. We do. We spend that time in the Word. So when Rosemary's in the Word or Sharon's in the Word or Cheryl's in the Word or me or Dave or Jeff, whichever, by spending that time in the Word, when we petition God for something, He answers our prayers for people. And that's why we have so many people call us. And we're grateful. We love to be able to pray and see our King do great and wonderful things for people. You know, I remember one night I was in bed. It was 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And that's before God brought Cheryl to me. I was by myself. And a couple that knew me, and they happened to have my phone, and of course, number, they had it, and my phone rings, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, whatever it was, and his wife was in excruciating pain. I mean, she was in excruciating pain. So I fell out of the bed on my knees with the phone in my hand. It wasn't a cell phone, just a regular phone. And as I fell out on my knees, and I had the phone where I could talk into it, where they could hear, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I says, the pain gone? She says, not yet, not yet. I prayed for over an hour. And finally, all of a sudden, she screamed, Thurman, praise God, the pain just left. It took me an hour to overcome the forces of darkness that were binding her up to remitting her sins and his sins and to break the power of the devil over their life. But that night when I got back up and went back to bed, I thought, thank you, Jesus, that you've given me this knowledge. You've given me this understanding of your word so that I can remit this couple's sins and I can stand against the enemy and I can rebuke him and drive him out. Here's a little woman that was in excruciating pain. She is now completely free of pain. And so about the middle of the afternoon, they called me back and she said, we went to bed and slept all day. We were so tired. But she said, when I woke up, I still have absolutely no pain. She said, I want to tell you how much we appreciate your ministry. I enjoy having a ministry that God does those kind of things through. Don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Now then, do you know what I could have done? I could have said, woman, don't bother me. Don't you know it's 4 o'clock in the morning? Yeah, go take an aspirin. I need my rest. But that's not the way we do things around here. You know, that's why we go and pray for people and do what we do for the kingdom of God, because we like to see God answer our prayer. He's given to us exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now then, because of these promises, we don't have to yield to the things, the corruption of the world, do we? No, not at all. We don't have to get involved with it. You know, we have the power over it. Now let's go on to the next couple of verses. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue or moral excellence, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Now this should be the characteristics of a Christian. Now then, let's go to the next ones. Next verses. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, if I'm barren of knowledge of Jesus Christ, what can I do? Nothing. Absolutely. That's exactly the right answer. Nothing. I can't do anything. Without Jesus himself said, without the Father, he couldn't do anything. So he said, without me, you can do nothing. But with him, what can we do? I mean, there ain't nothing we can't do in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just like Cheryl said just a while ago when I was asking for the promises, she said John 14:13-14. Now then, what happened was her daddy was down there, in Fort Worth or wherever it was,
in Dallas, in ICU,
and five doctors had been telling her all day that, you know, call in the family. It's over. He's going to die. Any second, he's going to die. So she called me. Yeah, and so she called me and wanted me to pray for her and for him. And so I did, and then I told her, I said, now take those promises that we just used, go in there and sit down with the Word of God. And I said, every time the doctor tells you he's going to die, I say, thank you, but I don't receive it. I have a promise of God, and this is what God says. I'm going to believe God instead of you. Now see, that's available to every Christian, everyone. Cheryl went in there. I mean, she probably took her Dr. Pepper. Back in those days, she needed something to beef her up a little bit, you know, because she'd been in the hospital several days with her dad, and she's not sleeping, you know, she's all worried about her dad, because she loves her dad with all her heart, you know, and she don't want him to die. And when she told me how old he was, I said, well, you know, he's 80-something years old. I said, just let him go home, you know, but I didn't realize he wasn't ready to go home, and she wasn't ready for him to go home. But so she was not going to give up. And so I told her, I said, take these promises and go in there and then quote them. And I said, God will raise your daddy from the dead. I guarantee he will. I mean, he's not dead yet, but I said, he'll raise him up and he'll make him well again. So she took those promises and she went in there and she stood her ground and she used those promises and she fought that battle against the enemy and raised her daddy up and took him home, and he went back to work and worked nearly a year before he had another aneurysm and did die and go home that night and had a stroke, whatever it was. But the thing about it is, these promises are awesome promises. You know, we don't have to just take what the doctor tells us. You know, if I had have taken what the doctor told me with Caitlin, same thing. You know, she had been dead 13 years ago. You know, but whenever the doctor, at 3 years of age, when the doctor told me, I'm sorry, sir, her brain stem severed, and her eyes are jerked out of her brain, her skull is crushed in five places, it's over. Every organ in her body's damaged, her right knee is crushed, her left leg's broken right below her knee and right above her ankle, and every organ in her body has some kind of damage. It's over. Don't you understand that, Mr. Scrivener? It's over. Your granddaughter is gone. Well, now, if I got these promises, what can I do with these promises? I can stand on these things. I can call upon the King of Kings. And when I call upon the King of Kings, does anybody know what Luke 1:37 says? I want you to look up in your Bible, and I want you to tell me what Luke 1:37 says. I want you to just look that up right quick, and I want you to see what that promise says in Luke 1:37. Oh, what, Kim?
With God, nothing shall be impossible.
Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Now, do I believe that?
Yeah.
With our God, only a few things are impossible. That ain't what it said, was it, Kim? It says, with our God, there ain't nothing impossible. Is that what that said?
Right. Yeah.
Now then, if you've got a Bible, did yours say the same thing?
Yeah.
With God, nothing's impossible. So why do we doubt when we... I'm preaching to myself right now. Why do I doubt sometimes when I pray for somebody? I know that verse. And I know with him there ain't nothing impossible. Amen. But still, sometimes... You know, you understand where I'm coming from, Jack?
I do.
That unbelieving demon can just get up there and slap you in the face every way in the world, can't he?
Yes, he can.
He really can. But does he do that to all of us?
Yes.
Yes, he does. I mean, he'll do it to all of us. But you know, if we've got it in our spirit, like I was with Caitlin, when the doctor said, "I'm sorry, sir, it's over," I said, "You know, I have John 15:7, and if it's over, he should have told me." I said, he didn't tell me. He told me that if I dwell in him and his word dwell in me, I could ask for anything and he'll do it for me. And I am not going to ask him to kill that little girl. I'm going to ask him to raise her up and make her whole where she can run and play again and in the name of Jesus. And I said, he's going to do it. I guarantee it. And of course, 9 days later, when the doctor said, "I don't know how this little girl's still alive," but said, "We just done another MRI and there's nothing attached to her brain. Nothing. Her brain is free floating in her head." Now, as I'm not even a doctor, and I know that ain't good, Jack. But as a doctor, that sure ain't good, is it?
That's real bad.
That's real bad. But with God, what's impossible?
Nothing.
I stood, even though they tell me. I stood, and I took those promises, and I quoted those promises. And because of those great and precious promises, today that little girl's 15 years old.
Amen.
She's running and playing. And she was here the other day. You know, we had her right here in church service the other day, a few Sundays ago. But, "For if these things be in you, and they abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You won't be unfruitful in the things that God will do for you either. I mean, when you start calling him in remembrance of these great and awesome promises, just like me, he raised my granddaughter up from the dead. He can raise up people. He can deliver people. I mean, you can have people that's having all kinds of problems, physical problems, that can't do anything right. And really, the problem is that it's caused because of sin. When we get a sin in our life, we open the door to the devil. And the devil comes in. I mean, that's his job. He comes in and he gets in you. Now then, we've been taught as Christians, you can't have a demon. Well, let me tell you, that's not true. I don't care what anybody says. Everybody can have a demon. And probably every one of us have had multiple demons. You know, I mean, yesterday at the healing school, one of the guys told me, he said, "I'm so grateful for the teaching you've done," because said, "I had this lady friend that I knew that at work, wasn't a real close friend, but said that I saw her one day crying there and knew something was wrong with her. And I asked her, I said, 'What's wrong?' She said, 'Oh, I have been diagnosed with breast cancer in my right breast.'" He said, "You know, I've been listening to a man's teaching that says that you have unforgiveness toward a female." And she said, "I do. I really do have unforgiveness toward a female." He said, "Well, why don't you just go forgive her and then get somebody to pray for you in faith and that thing will go away?" So she said, You're telling me that the breast cancer comes upon us because we have unforgiveness toward a woman?" And he said, "That's what this man says." And she said, I've definitely got unforgiveness. So he said, she went and forgave the woman. And he said, about a month later, I saw her again. I was back in that operation. And I saw her and said, she was all happy. And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "how are you doing?" She said, "Oh, I went and got my unforgiveness taken care of." And said, a few weeks later, I went back to the doctor for another checkup, which I was supposed to go for. And the doctor said, "He don't understand what happened. But my breast cancer is not there. It's totally gone." And he said, "Thurman, as far as I know, nobody even prayed for this woman." Now then, see, this is part of what these great and precious promises can do, right? He told the woman what was available. She went and got her sin taken care of. And when she did, God in his mercy knew that she was back in a right standing. So he delivered her from that demon. And that demon had to go away. And so next time she's checked, nobody even prayed for her because she didn't have anybody to pray for her. But if you're trying to get along with God, is he hard to get along with?
No,
not at all. He loves us, doesn't he, Jenna? I mean, he loves his people. And he does not want them to be sick and afflicted, does he? Now, it would have been nice if he'd had somebody, a pastor or something, that could have prayed for that girl, or just any man that could have stepped in. He would have loved to have gotten glory, and because he could have strengthened them. But he didn't have nobody. So he just delivered her himself. And so, and all these wonderful promises, he said, and he told me that at the healing school yesterday. He said, I learned that listening to your tapes. And he said, I had no idea that breast cancer was caused because of unforgiveness toward a female. But I heard you talk about it, and I heard you talk about it in detail. So I thought, well, I'll just tell this woman. And she got everything taken care of, and she got well. Now, I have no idea how many times that Cheryl and I have prayed for women with breast cancer and seen them healed. And probably many of you have done the same thing. But we've prayed for hundreds of them, haven't we, honey? I don't even know how many. But how do we get these women healed with breast cancer? We use these great and precious promises that God give us, right? And so because of those great and precious promises, we can become partakers of the divine nature of God. Now then, in the divine nature of God, I don't believe in my heart at all that God has any kind of sickness in him. Do you? I believe in his divine nature. He is perfect. Don't you? If there was ever a man that was well, it's God, isn't it, Nancy? And he wants you to be just like that, doesn't he? He wants you to be a partaker of his divine nature. He wants his children to be well. Because if you have children, do you want your children to be sick?
No.
Of course not. You don't want them to be sick. That's why you're praying over them all the time when something happens. You don't want them to be sick.
We prayed last night for her.
Yes.
What time
was that? 2:00 in the
morning?
Yes, at least.
Yeah.
Just to show you, when this daughter up here has got a problem and can't sing, and since that's what she does for a living, guess who she always calls? Mom. Now, see, she hadn't figured out these promises are in her too, see? She hadn't got there yet. She spends too much time learning how to sing instead of in the Word of God. And so Mama's the one's always in the Word. So when Christy needs something, all she needs to do is be at Mama's phone, right? Even though 2:00 in the morning. And of course, 2:00 this morning, when Cheryl's phone rang, guess who she woke up to pray for her daughter? Me. You better be glad you're one of my favorite daughters. Yeah. Well, Mama probably was. I wasn't. Usually at 2:00 in the morning, I'm not up. I'm usually in bed trying to sleep. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. It all depends on who calls. But anyway, I did pray for Christy this morning in the wee hours of the morning with Mama. We did use Matthew 18:19. And you are much better today.
Even when I got up and Eric heard me for the first time, he goes, your voice is so much better.
Why are you so much better? Because we prayed with the divine promises of God.
Amen.
And he showed up, right? And isn't it wonderful?
Yes,
it is wonderful. We all enjoy the benefits of those promises. Now then, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to teach you that you can do the same thing that Cheryl and I do. You know, and many of you are learning these principles, and you're standing on those promises, and you are calling God in remembrance of his promises. And as you do that, he's answering your prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Jackie, do you love being able to pray and see God do wonderful things for you?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that wonderful? But you've learned how to do it too, haven't you, girl? You got to walk holy. You got to pray in faith with nothing wavering. And when you do, he shows up, doesn't he? Every time. And that's wonderful. Now, God does, he says, for these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9 and 10. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now then, when you got saved, how many of your sins did God purge you of?
All.
Okay, now how many sins should you have committed from the time you got saved till now? How many?
Zero.
Oh, zero. But you haven't mastered that yet, have you?
Exactly.
Are we all still human beings?
Yes.
And are we glad that God put 1 John 1:9 in the Word? If you sin, if you confess your sin, I am righteous and just to forgive your sin and to restore you to righteousness and to fellowship. We are so grateful for those promises. But that is another one of those great and precious promises. If we didn't have 1 John 1:9, we couldn't quote 1 John 1:9. We couldn't stand on 1 John 1:9. So therefore, we would still have that sin in our life and God would not hear a prayer, right?
Right.
And so when we've learned all these promises, you don't just need one or two of them. You need a lot of them. And the more of them you have hidden in your heart, the better it is, right?
Absolutely.
So, wow. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, I want to walk holy and obedient to God's Word. I want to see Him do the great and wonderful things. And I know you do. Of course, I know that Christy wants to see Mama walk there because when she calls, she wants an answer. Is that right, Christy? Yeah, I know. They do. You know, they absolutely do. When Mom prays for her children, she prays in faith. She has learned multitudes of these wonderful promises. And, I mean, that's just like the other day, whenever some of y'all heard this story, when these two were down at Walmart, when one of the checkout ladies, her son was on drugs and heroin, and then he wouldn't go to church, he didn't believe, and he was, his mom was crying. And the power that Cheryl had in her was available to this woman. But this woman didn't know it. But this woman did know it. And so she and her daughter came to the throne of grace. They went up to the throne of God. They kicked those devils of hell out of that boy. They sicked the Holy Spirit on him. They done all kinds of things. And a few months later, when Christy went back in there to get some tacos or something, that woman said, Christy, you got to tell your mama what happened to my son. Said he got delivered. He got saved. He is now playing drums in a cowboy church, and he's reading his Bible every night. Now, how many of us have that power in us?
All
of us. It's in us. If all we got to do is know it, but you got to know it. And the beautiful part about some of you in this room, some of you know it. And Cheryl's one of those that knows it. And she knows how to use those promises and come to the throne of grace. And once in a while, when we're praying for people, I'll just say, honey, you pray for this one. And boy, I just love to hear her go to the throne of grace. I mean, she knows how to kick out devils, you know, and she's scrubbing the walls. I mean, she with these promises of God. But she gets people set free. Isn't that wonderful? Now then, those wonderful, awesome promises are available to how many of us?
All
of us. He give us how many things that pertains to life and godliness? What is it we don't understand about that? Isn't that something? That God could make something so clear and yet we don't believe. Lord, I thank you that those things belongs to us, the church. I thank you that all these wonderful promises belongs to every one of us in this room. Now, Lord, I ask you to reveal to each one of us the truth of your word, that these promises belong to me, to you, every one of them. And is that what he said?
Yes.
Okay. In other words, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, am I?
No.
I'm quoting exactly what God says. Then let's go to... Do what?
Psalms 103.
Which verse?
1 through 5.
1 through 5. Okay, Eldon wants to hear Psalm 103 verses 1 through 5. That's some of those promises, isn't it, Eldon?
Yes.
That's some of those promises. Okay, let's go to that. And let's look at this. And I love that too. That's one of my favorite verses. I know Eldon loves that. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Amen.
Now then, we need to do that with enthusiasm, don't we, Jack?
Amen.
I mean, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you and praise you. In fact, I think about that night when I think about this. Eldon and Nancy and me and Cheryl went up to Cracker Barrel one night after church for dinner. And when we walked up there, there was an older lady sitting there in a wheelchair. Eldon walked up and said, "Ma'am, what's wrong with you?" And she said, "I have trouble walking and my feet are really cold and everything else." And he says, now you don't see this hardly ever. He gets down on his knees right beside her wheelchair and says, "Can I pray for your feet?" And she says, "Yes." So he begins to grab her feet and begins to massage her feet and anoint her feet with oil and all kinds of stuff. And the mother, I don't know whether it's that's the mother. I don't know if this is the daughter and the son-in-law or vice versa, but anyway, the couple that's standing there, she says, I would never believe I could see this in a Cracker Barrel. She ain't never run into Eldon Niddle. Because Eldon will pray for anybody at the drop of a hat. Because he knows these awesome promises and he knows they're his. Amen. And so he prayed for that little lady that night. Her feet got warm and she felt a whole lot better and everything. And I thought, wow, here we are standing right at the head of the line. There's all kinds of people behind us. And Eldon is down on his knees praying over this woman in a wheelchair right there at the entryway into the Cracker Barrel by the where they take your order. I thought, how many times do you see that in a place of business? Why do we not see that more often? Because we don't believe these promises belong to us. If we believe these promises belong to us, you would have no more problem than Eldon does of kneeling down and praying for a woman that has a need. Now, if we don't pray, what's going to happen? Nothing. After we pray, what's impossible with God? Hey, that's it. I mean, he can do anything. And that's absolutely right. And Eldon knows that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now then, the benefit package is out of this world. Yeah, the benefit package is out of this world. Let's see what it is in the next couple of verses. He forgives all of my iniquities and heals all of my diseases. Now, can you have a better benefit package than that, Jack? it don't matter how many times you and me mess up. All we got to do is come and say, "God, I'm sorry. I blew it." Amen. And he says, "Okay, my blood just washed you clean. Now you're clean and you're ready to start again. Now walk holy before me. But if you do mess up again, come back. I still got some blood left." Quickly. Yeah, come back quickly. But it's amazing here. He says, who forgives all of our iniquities? That's our known sins, our iniquities. And heals all of our diseases. If we really believe that, as Christians, whenever something happens to us, what would be the first thing we would do if we get sick or afflicted? Well, the first thing you do is repent of your sin, right? Because he said, "I forgive your iniquity." So the first thing you do is say, "Oh God, I don't really know what all I might have done here, but I know I got some iniquities here. I got some sins I messed up. Father, in Jesus' name, according to 1 John 1:9, I ask you to forgive me." Is that right, Jackie? Forgive me of all of those. Now then, you made me a promise in your word. You heal all of my diseases. So I want to thank you that you set me free. I'm redeemed from the curse. So I command those spirits of curse to leave and to never come back. Now thank you, Lord. I am healed in Jesus' name. He said, "Whoa, you see that woman, that daughter of mine, she knows all those promises." And he just says, "Touch her." And she's delivered and healed. Isn't that something? But what do we do? Well, we don't know the promises, you know, and we go out and do something stupid. You know, like I was talking to a lady the other day, and her husband committed adultery on her, and she was all upset, and now she's got a venereal disease, and she's wanting me to pray for her. And I said, "How did you get a venereal disease?" She said, "Well, after I found out my husband committed adultery on me, I went out and found some guy and I committed adultery on him." And she was supposedly a Christian. I thought, woman, how stupid you and your husband both are. You understand where I'm coming from? I mean, that's like saying, "Okay, I don't like, because you did this, I'm going to cut my nose off to spite my own face." That's about the stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. So this woman's got all these issues now because of her stupidity. If she'd have known these promises and he'd have known these promises, wouldn't have either one of them been there, would they? No, they would have walked holy and obedient to God's word. I just can't believe that when people that call themselves Christians go out and blatantly sin. I just think, you know, we have not studied the book. We've studied everything else, but we ain't studied the book. Because if you knew what you were doing when you go sin and how you're throwing away this benefit package, I mean, I just stand in awe at this benefit package. He forgives all of my sins or iniquities. He heals all of my diseases. And in the next couple of verses, look what he says he does after this. Then he says, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, you can't beat that, can you? I'm telling you. Now then, what if you never learned that? You grow old. That's right. You cannot claim by faith what you don't know, can you, Jack? So that's why he said, study my word. In other words, in Proverbs 4:10, I believe it is. Let's go to Proverbs 4:10. I want you to see what this says. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. He says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be few. Oh, that's not what that said? Oh, Elder's watching over here. Doggone the luck. If we hear his words and obey him, the years of our life will be what? Now, how many of y'all want a long, healthy life? Ooh, I do. I'm holding up both hands. So I call the Lord and remembers that. Lord, I thank you and praise you. What's the first thing I'm supposed to do in Psalm 1?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, in the first two verses, I'm supposed to praise and worship the King, right? Bless his holy name. Oh, my goodness. Do you think, how many times, can you look up in that thing, how many times the word praise or praised or praises is used in the Psalms? Just in that one, in 150 Psalms, I'd just like to know how many times the Scripture says we are to praise him. Since Kim's got a little computer up here, she can probably do that. I know if you can't do it real quickly, don't worry about it. I know that, that'll be faster?
Faster.
Oh, my goodness, okay. She's got so many computers, she don't even know what to do with them all. Oh, my goodness gracious. Psalms just from 1 to 50, 150. Just the word praise or praised or praising or something. Anything to do with praise. Yeah, in the Psalms, just in the Psalms. I looked at it once a long time ago and I forgot, but it was in there a lot of times. In fact, the first time I did that, I took my highlighter and started at the front of the Psalms and went through and read the entire 150 Psalms, and everywhere I come upon the word praise or praise or praising, I highlighted, and then after I got through, I went back and counted them all. That was a lot. But the computer does it a whole lot quicker. And so I think it's 150 or 250 times or something like that. 150? Okay, 150 times in 150 Psalms, God told us to praise him. You reckon he wants us to praise him?
I think he does.
So if he tells us 150 times in 150 Psalms to praise him, then I think we need to take him to heart and we need to praise him. You know, when you go sit down at your restaurant this afternoon to have dinner, or if you do it at home or whatever you do, I want you to say, Lord, I may be at home all by myself, but I know you're standing right here. Is he really standing right there? Yes, he will be. Guarantee you can't be anywhere without him. And so I want to praise you and thank you for this food. I want to praise you and thank you that you've forgiven all my iniquities. I want to thank you and praise you healed all of my diseases. I want to thank you and praise you that you've saved my life from destruction. You've crowned me with loving kindness, and I want to just give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving that you have renewed my youth like the eagles, so I will not grow old. I will be young, but I will grow old in years, but I will not be old in ability to do things. I will be a young man or a young woman. Now, I don't know about you, but I love feeling good and being young and being able to do things. Don't you? You know, I don't want to be old and wore out and can't do nothing. You know, I mean, I deal with too many people like that on a regular basis. And what really gets me when I have to deal with one that's 50 or 60 years old, you know, that can't do anything, you know. So, and I think about Charlie over here, how he's getting in better shape all the time. I've been telling Charlie about how he needs to exercise, and he's been doing that. So last Friday, we were out planting the garden, and we were planting potatoes, and all of us were out there. And I was both Jeff and Dave and Charlie all had a grubbing hoe digging holes to put potato spuds in, and I'm telling you, they was slinging those hoes, and they must have dug 350 holes. I'm telling you, I didn't know Charlie had it in him. He didn't know it either, did you, Charlie? But we planted potatoes, a lot of them. Now then, I'm going to tell one more little story, and then we're going to quit for the day. When we're talking about potatoes, how many of you in here have ever heard or seen the CD, the DVD, Faith Like Potatoes? Oh, okay, wow, only just a few of you. Okay, if you've never seen that, we need to make some copies of that. If I can find it, I don't know if it's copyrighted or not. I'll have to look and see. But let me tell you the story of it right quick. There was a man in South Africa that was a pretty wicked farmer. He didn't believe in Jesus, didn't know nothing about Jesus, you know, but finally one day somebody told him about Jesus and he got saved. Now when you get saved, you become a new creature. Now then this man's laying out in his cornfields reading the Bible. You know, he loves the Bible. That's a good sign he really got saved, isn't it? And so he's out there, and the deeper he goes, he said, now I'm beginning to understand why we don't have no rain, why that we don't have no crops. It's because we're disobedient. We're not obeying God. And he's judging us just like he did Israel. And so he said, we need to get together. And so he tried to get gatherings and everything. And finally he got a whole stadium full of men and told them, said, we need to get right with God, men. He said, this is what's wrong with our country. We've turned our back on God. How many of y'all know that's what's wrong with our country? We've turned our back on God just like they did. And he was trying to get the people to believe. And they finally said, you know, after he got this whole bunch together, he said, let's all plant a crop and pray and believe God. And they said, oh, you know, we don't believe that. You know, I mean, they're Christian, but they don't believe they can pray and get God to make it rain. I mean, they don't believe the promises, do they? But he did. So he said, okay, then I'm going to plant potatoes. And they said, potatoes takes more water than anything. You have to have water to raise potatoes. He said, so I'm going to pray and God's going to give me a great crop. He planted the potato spuds, you know, the little eyes. He planted them. He planted a whole field of them. And it never rained for 4 months. It takes about 3.5 to 4 months to make a full potato crop. And in that period of time, there was not one drop of rain fell in South Africa where he was. And they videoed this thing. They made pictures. And there were some dry-looking little old plants come out of the ground. They're just crackledy dry. But not a green leaf, not one. Well, it came 4 months. He said, well, it's time to dig our potatoes. He said, I guarantee you, God said if I would believe him and do what he said, that he would bless whatever I put my hands to. So we're going to dig my fantastic potato crop. Everybody knew he was crazy. It had not rained a drop. Did this man have faith in God?
Yes.
He had faith in God. And they went out there and they took those big old rollover plows and stuck them in the ground and started rolling that dirt over and come out of the ground with potatoes that big around it. They were solid. There was tens of thousands of potatoes. The name of that video is called Faith Like Potatoes. That just goes to show you what God can do for one man that can believe he's God. And I mean, if you see that video and don't believe God is God, then you got a problem. You got a problem, because just think, not one drop of water for 4 months. And anybody in their right mind knows that potatoes don't grow without water. You know that?
Yeah.
But can God make them grow without water?
Yeah.
Yes, he can. He did. He made those grow. What does our God have to do to get our attention, to make us believe that he really is real and that his promises are real? He has a problem, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He really does. Wow. Well, I'm glad you came today. I'm glad I had the privilege to teach you some of the principles of God's Word. I thank you for all of you mothers, you know, for the blessings and things that you have been to all of us. We're so grateful. Now we're going to close with a word of prayer. And if you happen to be new here and don't know, all the media is free. You can take anything you want. All the teachings are there. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over there on the wall. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, then we'll be through. And after we pray, and Rosemary will be somewhere back here praying for you. Eldon and Nancy is up here on the front row. They pray for people. Jeff and Dave are there, and Cheryl and I are here. So it shouldn't take us long to get everybody prayed for. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for these awesome promises that you've given us in your word. We thank you that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, Father, I ask you to give us revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from your word. As we get in your word, reveal yourself to us. Lord, I praise you and thank you for doing that for us. And just bless us this week and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I will have to say that Jeff asked me a question last night as we were sitting talking. He says, when you hear God speak to you, what do you hear? I said, well, just like the first time I heard it, I said I was sitting there in my study and I heard this word. I got to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and I heard, son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses. I said, I heard that just like he was standing right there talking to me, just that clear. So he said, you hear that voice that clear. Yes. I hear that voice that clear. And I don't know why he talks to me so clear, but he sure does. And I'm glad he does, because every time he talks to me, you know what it does to my faith level? It sends me on a new level. And when somebody said, well, how do you know God's real? Yes, I know he's really real. He's spoken to me too many times. That'd be just like Jack. If Jack spoke to me every Sunday, and then one Sunday he called me on the phone, and he said, I can't be here. And I say, well, I don't believe you're real, Jack, because you're not here no more. Wouldn't that be stupid? But God is awesome, isn't he, ladies and gentlemen? Praise the Lord. I'm glad you all came today. And I hope you'll come back next Sunday. Praise the Lord. And you're dismissed and to be prayed for or to do whatever you need to do. Praise the King. Okay? Praise the Lord.